your connection, okay? All right. So we are in a sermon series through the book of Proverbs. And in the summer, we take some time to spend in like one book. Generally, it's the Psalms. Occasionally, it's another Old Testament book of the Bible. And right now, what we decided is that we're going to be in the book of Proverbs because there is a need for wisdom. There is a need for guidance here in our everyday lives. Lord, what do I do? Even as I think about the transition of Asher and a desire to have a building that we own, it's like, all right, Lord, what is it that you want us to do? What is it that you want me to do? How do we respond in a way that gives us confidence that we're moving forward in the right direction? And today, we're going to look at the book of Proverbs as we specifically think about and discover that our words actually matter. Most of y'all don't know, but I taught school for 8 years prior to coming into ministry full-time. And I was an early childhood development major, so I like the little kids. I love babies, okay? Babies are my jam. Young kids are my jam. When they start to get older, middle school is where I start to hit my threshold, and in high school, I'm hands off. I don't have anything. They get weird at that point, you know, which is why I need your prayers this coming week, because I'm going to be chaperoning the youth conference from Monday to Friday, a bunch of high school teenagers. I am way, way out of my element. But what I loved about early childhood development was the way language developed. You know, you would see a child who didn't, you know how to say any words, and then they start to, you know, put some words together, and then those words become sentences that you can't quite understand, and you're interpreting. They're so excited to say something to you, and, you know, you just smile in their face and say, yeah, that was really fun, and they told you that they actually just made a mess in the bedroom. You know, it's like, okay, and the language develops, and one of the things we learn in early childhood development, that language develops by listening and copying those who are older than them, right? When you want to teach that child how to speak or how to talk, you tell them to repeat after you. And maybe you don't even just tell them to repeat after you. They just start repeating whatever it is that you say to them. And then somebody comes over for dinner, and they repeat to the guest that you invited over for dinner what they heard you say. And they say, oh, no, 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 no. That was just for us in the house, honey, not for the guests. In the same way, when we become followers of Jesus, we learn a new language, we learn a new way to speak by following those who are ahead of us. Christians develop language in community with mature followers of Jesus. We develop language in community with mature followers of Jesus who use the words of Jesus to give us guidance. Last week, I introduced the wisdom matrix because the book of Proverbs describes two characters, two pathways, the way of wisdom, where you grow to become more wise, or the way of folly, where you grow to become more foolish. And on that, is it the why, Heather? Right, the why is the, okay, thank you. On the why, you grow more wise as you listen to the wisdom of counselors. In the multitude of counselors, there is wisdom. That's what Proverbs says. But Proverbs also talks about becoming wise by trial and error. Like, if you get out there and do it on your own, you can learn some things. If you pause, Sam, long enough to ask yourself, what did I learn from that so I don't repeat that mistake again? And the book of Proverbs talks about growing in wisdom so that we're in that upper right quadrant there where we are more and more wise. And the words we use either lead us in the direction of wisdom, or they lead us in the direction of folly. And Christians, followers of Jesus, people who call themselves disciples of the Most High God, are called to grow in the way of wisdom, particularly with the words that we use. And this is what Proverbs 18:21, where we're going to sort of base the whole message today on. This is what it says, Proverbs 18:21 in the Christian Standard Bible translation. Death and life, why don't y'all read it with me? Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Wow, death and life are in the power of the tongue. This is King Solomon talking. He didn't say death and life are in the power of the sword. That's how we're going to win our battles. This is how we, you know, win or lose. No, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And here's what Solomon knew. Language has the power to create or destroy, and we get to choose the direction of our words. Language has the power to create, to develop, or to destroy, and we get to choose the direction of our words. Are our words going to go in the direction of wisdom, or are our words going to go in the direction of folly? Are they going to go in the direction of life, or are they going to go in the direction of death? Are they going to go in the direction of healing, or are they going to go in the direction of hurting and harming? The title for the message today is Words of the Wise. Words of the Wise. And what I want to ask you to do this morning, just to yourself, just in your own head, you don't have to write this down, is to take an inventory of the words you've used in the last 24 hours. Take an inventory of the words you've used in the last 24 hours. Did your words lift someone up, or did they put someone down? The words that you used in the last 24 hours, were they honoring to your coworker, or were they just mere flattery? You just told them something because you wanted to move on in the agenda. Did you use your words to encourage someone, or did you use words to shame them? Were your words you used in the last 24 hours, were they crafted to tell the truth or to spread a lie? We all know the importance of words, beloved. We all know the power of words as well. Why don't you help me out and finish these sentences? Sticks and stones may break my bones. Right. I don't know who said that, but that's a lie off the top, right? Sticks and stones, but word, I've been hurt by some words before. Okay, finish this next one. If you don't have anything nice to say, Mama Celeste, you still saying that? You say, boy, if you ain't got nothing nice to say, don't say anything at all. Okay, how about this one? Words are like toothpaste. You can't put them back in. Once they're out, you can't put them back in. You can't take them back. They're already out there. And what we know is that words have power. Language has power. And in this technological age that we live in, our words also live forever. Your words don't go away. They live forever. They are there forever, ever, forever. Text messages are there forever. Even when you slide over and delete that bad boy, somebody got it in a database somewhere in Arizona that can pull it right out. Oh, you thought you deleted that. No, they got records at a database center in Arizona. Our words live forever. And if they don't live digitally or virtually, the words you say and the words you hear from others, they live on your heart. They live in your mind. We should all take inventory of our words because not only do we ought to be concerned about their digital longevity, we ought to be concerned about their eternal longevity. When Jesus was teaching the disciples, he had an eternal perspective on words. This is what he says in Matthew chapter 12, verse 36. I tell you, on that day of judgment, people will give an account for every, Lord help me today, careless word they speak on that day. What day we talking about, Jesus? The day of judgment. That day when I come back and I right all of the wrongs, when I set the crooked straight, on that day, y'all going to get in line and there going to be a book that has all of your words and we're going to take an account for whether those words were life-giving or they were life-destroying. Lord, help me today. This is the perspective that Jesus has, that our words matter. They count today and they count well into the future. In our homes, parents, your words count. Your words matter. They matter to the children that you speak to from the moment that they wake up until the time that they go to sleep. Spouses, your words matter to one another. Boyfriend, girlfriend, y'all words matter, you know, to each other. Friends, your words matter to each other. In our churches, some of us understand that we have church hurt today because some words that were said were hurtful and were harmful. They weren't healing. They weren't life-giving. And they have caused all kinds of pain, the words that have been used in churches. And can we be honest today? In this political season, ooh-wee, Lord help me today, how we talk about candidates in this election season, how we talk about the issues that are governing our lives, the words that we use, they are either building up or they are tearing down. How many of y'all heard just yesterday there was a shooting at a Trump rally where he was the target of the attack? And just as you watch on social media about how the public is responding to this incident says a lot about whether they are life-giving words or they are life-destroying words. And when you hear people say, man, that shooter could have used better aim, Christians ought to have the response that there is never, ever a course where violence is the direction that we should be aiming for, regardless of what the person believes politically. Every person is made in the image of God, so we don't get to choose who needs to have the target and who doesn't have the target. Because to be honest with you, if you say that he deserved the target, but then you're so much of an advocate for this other group over here that they don't get the target, you make yourself out to be a hypocrite. So the words that we use matter. They matter about who we are speaking to and speaking about. And the question is, are our words bringing healing to the world or are they bringing harm? Because what the world needs is more healing. What the world needs is more recovering and more restoration, more blessing. They don't need more death. They don't need more destruction. They need more healing. And throughout the book of Proverbs, no subject is spoken about more than the importance of our words. Listen to this 18:21 in a few different translations. In the NIV, it says, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. I learned this in the King James Version. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. And I like the Message translation. Words kill. Words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You choose. And while we do get to choose our words, beloved, we don't get to choose the words that are spoken to us or about us. For some of us, we had parents and teachers and coaches and friends who spoke life-giving words over us. There are some of our biggest fans and cheerleaders. My mother is a consummate encourager, that she doesn't know much how to do anything else. She's just encouraging all the time to a fault, me and my sister. You are somebody. You are a rock. You can do it. You can make it. You're a man of God. Don't be slowed down by these momentary afflictions. There is a brighter day ahead. Mom is encouraging. And I realize that for some of us, we didn't have a parent like that. You didn't have a parent who was encouraging. You maybe had a teacher who wasn't supportive of you. You maybe even had so-called friends who didn't speak life into you. And their words are as fresh today as they were when you first heard them. You didn't choose the words that were spoken to you or about you. But, beloved, you can choose to not repeat them. Not repeat them to yourself. To not repeat them to others. To not repeat the destructive nature and what the ways in which those words impact you and your relationships. Because what we know is that foolish words tear down. Wars between countries are started because of hateful words.
Fights are started between friends because of offensive words that are said directly or indirectly. Arguments in churches and marriages start with words that wound, leaving scars that have yet to be healed and cause division and separation or even divorce. Death is in the power of the tongue. And Proverbs speaks about four categories of destructive, foolish, and deathly words. They are lying, gossip, cursing, and flattery. Lying, when you're not speaking the truth about someone or a situation. That is a category that Proverbs spends quite a bit of time talking about. It says, lying lips are detestable to the Lord in Proverbs chapter 2. Gossip. Probably something we're all okay with a little bit, right? What's the good news of what's happening out there in them streets? You know what I'm saying? Well, tell me what's happening. What's happening? And gossip is spoken about quite often as well throughout Proverbs. He says, make your case with your opponent without revealing their secrets. Like when you know something about someone, it's not the purpose or cause for you to go spreading the news around the community. Cursing here is not talking about foul language. It's not cussing, but it's about a pronouncement on somebody about their worth and their value, whether or not they deserve something or not. Those are cursings. And then flattery is just empty praise, empty words. You're just puffing somebody up. You don't really mean that. You're just saying it to be saying it to move on. And what flattery does is it leads to that person to have more pride in themselves than trust in God who gave them the gifts. And these foolish words are destructive. And what we don't understand quite honestly is that the words we use towards and about others don't just affect that person. It affects at least three groups of people. The person who speaks those harmful words, the person who is the object of those harmful words, and anyone who's listening to it. This is a rabbi's saying on this. Whenever one speaks ill of another, it is as if the person were killing three people. The speaker who has perpetuated the evil, the object of the language, whose reputation has been slandered, and the one who listened to the slander, who is now an accomplice. Ouch. And notice what the rabbi says. Whenever one speaks ill of another, it's as if the person were killing three people. Notice the weight of the words. That these are harmful, that when you speak ill of another person, when you harm another person with your words, it's as if you have shot them with a bullet, stabbed them with a knife, strangled the life of breath outside of them. Words that tear down, beloved, are destructive and they diminish our humanity. And hurtful words spoken over us at times, when we've been on the receiving end of the gossip, when we've been on the receiving end of the lying, when we've been on the receiving end of just puffed up flattery words, sometimes they become internalized in the marrow of our bones and the neurons of our brain, and they become a self-fulfilling prophecy because somebody said you weren't smart enough and you began to believe it. Someone said that you weren't important enough and you began to believe it. Someone said you were too skinny or too fat and you internalized it. And sometimes it's even the words that aren't said about you that hurt. You were waiting for somebody to say that they loved you and you didn't hear it. You were waiting for somebody to encourage you, and the encouragement didn't come around. You were waiting for somebody to pray for you, and the prayers never came. And it's sometimes not only the words that are said that hurts, it's the words that are not said that hurt as well. So if there are words that can tear down, what Proverbs says is that there are words that also can build up. If destructive words can spark a war, then healing words can bring about peace. Healing words can soothe worry and wipe away doubt. Healing words can restore a relationship, and the possibility of reconciliation starts with words that heal, that build up, that give life. And Proverbs speaks at least three categories of life-giving, building up, healing words. Words that build up are truthful, comforting, and timely. Words that heal and build up, they are truthful. They take the time to give and speak the truth. Chapter 12, verse 17 says, whoever speaks the truth declares what is right, but a false witness speaks of deceit. What God approves of and desires is truth, not lies. What God desires of words that build up are comforting words. Again, in chapter 12, anxiety in a person's heart weighs them down, but a good word cheers them up. Words that are comforting are words that build up. I see you. I hear you. I believe you. These are comforting words that our ears and our hearts and our bodies even are desiring. And then words that build up are timely. I remember this one from the days when my dad was challenging me to remember Proverbs. Proverbs 25, a word spoken at the right time is like gold apples in silver settings. And I always wonder, like, what is that? And why does it matter? What does a gold apple in a silver setting look like? And what does it matter? And I finally had to come to the place where it said, it really doesn't matter. It's probably just really expensive. Or really valuable. To give a timely word is valuable. To give a word at the right time and in the right place and to the right people is timely. Everybody don't need to hear your word. And everybody don't need to hear your word at that time. I know we live in a culture which says, I asked you a question, I need you to give me the response now. One of the things I hate about text messaging. You know, you text me and I'm like, oh, shoot, I feel like I got to answer this right now. And I put it down and I'm like, I'll answer that maybe tomorrow. And then tomorrow comes and then a week passes and then I feel all kinds of guilt. And then I, you know. But words that build up are truthful, comforting, and timely. Words that build up are constructive and bless our humanity. Think about Jesus' interactions with others in the Gospels. When he speaks words of truth. And words of truth can sometimes be hurtful, right? When you hear it for the first time, right? When you hear, like, no, actually, your words are hurting somebody else. And if you held on to your words, or you held on to your position, or you justified why you spoke and acted the way you did, and Jesus comes in and says, no, that word was actually hurtful and harmful, it may hurt you. When Jesus speaks the truth of the Sermon on the Mount, he's speaking a truthful word that disrupts those who were quite comfortable with the position they were in life. But the other side of Jesus' words is that they were comforting those who were constantly being disturbed and disrupted. The philosopher Plato said this, "Wise men speak because they have something to say. Fools speak because they have to say something." Wise people speak because they have something to say. But foolish people speak because they have to say something. And this is before Facebook came out. This is before Twitter and whatever Twitter is now. You know, it's before Instagram or Reddit or whatever. It's before any of those social media platforms came out. Wise men speak because they have something to say, but foolish people speak because they just gotta say something. So let's wrap up this message today with how to become wise with your words. We know what the build-up words look like. Well, how do we actually use them? Three things. Number one, think before you speak. Think before you speak. Proverbs 15:28. The mind of the righteous person thinks before answering, but the mouth of the wicked blurts out evil things. think before you speak. What is it I'm about to say? How am I going to say this thing? What else is happening underneath? And that's the second point. Take a moment to process your emotions. So think intellectually before you speak. Feeling, process your emotions before you speak. A fool gives full vent to his anger, Proverbs 29:11 says, but a wise person holds it in check. You're full of anger, like, oh, I can't believe they said this, they did this. And boom, you just launch right out there. I got a right to say what I feel. I got a right to say how, you know, I am receiving what you're saying right now. I got a right. And you respond in full anger. But understand and remember, just like toothpaste, once it comes out, you cannot put it back in. Now, this doesn't mean ignore your emotions. This doesn't mean when you're angry to ignore your anger. You know, you're just a hothead, so just pour a bucket of cold water on it and then walk away. No, it means to process that emotion, understand it. Where is it coming from? How are you going to articulate it? Because the third thing, and how to become wise with your words, is to be careful with what you say. Doesn't mean don't say it. It means to be careful with what you say. And in Proverbs 25:15, a ruler can be persuaded through patience, and a gentle tongue could even break a bone. That's how powerful your words are. And so we want to be mindful to think before we speak. And to be honest with you, some of us have been enculturated to just keep silent, right? Kids, children are better seen than, anybody know that, right? And so, you know, you grow up with this perspective that, hey, I'm not supposed to be heard. My voice doesn't matter. You know, women, where is your place according to old, you know, traditional conservative norms? Your place is in the kitchen, not in the living room where discussions and decisions are made. Not in the boardroom, you know, where the elite men have decided what is best for the company or the organization or the school, you name whatever. So even women have been told to suppress their voices, be quiet. You might even come from an ethnic background, a racial background, where you were told, this is what one of my Chinese friends tell me, is that the nail that is exposed gets hammered down. That was like one of the phrases. So if you are sticking out, you will be hammered down. So keep your head down and be silent. So your gender might have said, keep your voice down. Your race might have said, keep your voice down. Where you come from and the family dynamic you may have grown up in told you to keep your voice down. And this is not saying, yes, shut up. Because for some of us, we need to learn our voices. You've got words. We just need to learn how to use those words. And what we do in community is what we are called to do is encourage us to use the words that are present. When I'm in board meetings or staff meetings or I'm in business meetings, one of my gifts of Strength Finders is includer. So when I don't hear somebody in the room speak up, I'm like, hey, can you share what's on your mind, Jessica? Hey, Kitra, can you tell us what are you thinking? What are you feeling here? What we get to do in community is we get to use our words to build people up, or we can choose to use our words to tear people down. So the invitation from Proverbs is that we learn how to use our words to build others up. That we learn the value of taking inventory of our words, so that we will avoid repeating the harm to ourselves and to others, and that we might do good and do better to ourselves and to others. And may I also encourage us that we're not going to get this perfect 100% of the time. Just from hearing a 30-minute message about using wise words does not mean you are now downloaded with new programming and you are going to use your words always 100% of the time to build up rather than tear down. So I want you to hear grace. I want you to hear the grace of God, first of all, over you. And I also want you to understand that you are going to say the wrong thing sometimes. And you're going to say it at the wrong time, even if you got the right words sometimes. And the good news to the wise is this: we can learn by saying these two words, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. There's probably no wiser, more healing word on one side, I'm sorry, connected to the other two words on the other side, you're forgiven. Some of the wisest words we can hear, some of the most healing words, some of the most restorative words that we can hear is, I'm sorry. That when someone does say something at the wrong time, that you don't withhold doing and saying good to them, say, I'm sorry. And on the other side, you can say this too, by the grace and the Spirit of God, you're forgiven. The Holy Spirit belongs to those who are following Jesus, and what I trust and believe is that the Holy Spirit will give us the words that we need to say when it's time to say it. Will you pray with me? And pray in the direction that you might ask God to give you the words to say. Lord, I thank you for the good word that you speak over us, that we are your beloved children. That is who we are. We belong to you. And because we belong to you, you have given us your Holy Spirit and promised to guide not only our footsteps, but also to guide our words. So, Lord, where we have said words that were harmful, we receive now your gift of forgiveness. Lord, where there were harmful words said to us, we receive your gift of freedom, of bondage to those words. And God, may you give us a language and a word to speak that is healing to ourselves, to our own spirits, and healing to those who are around us. In the strong and powerful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.